Okay, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our shiur. Today, for Parshas Bo, I thought it would be appropriate to speak about some inyanim, some matters pertaining to the mitzvah of tefillin, being that we know that there are four places in the Torah that the mitzvah of tefillin is mentioned. Two of them were in yesterday's parsha. At the very end of the parsha, we find we have these four locations in the Torah where we find the mention of tefillin became the four parshiyos of tefillin. Those are the four sections that are included in the tefillin. And two of them are at the end of yesterday's parsha, Kaddish L'Kol Bechor and V'Hayaki Yeviyacha. And then you have in Sefer Devarim, you have in Parshas V'Eschana and Shema Yisrael V'Ahavta. And then you have in Parshas Eke V'Hayim Shemoah. Those are the four parshiyos of tefillin. So I thought that it would be worthwhile to just review a little bit some basic points pertaining to tefillin. Tefillin is a very great mitzvah, as we will soon see. At the same time, because we're used to wearing them all the time, so like anything else, you sort of lose the reverence for something that you do all the time. So I just wanted to take today as an opportunity to perhaps go over some points which I think are basic. Maybe we're familiar with them, and also introduce one or two things which may be chidushim. So we start here. The Gemara in Maseches Menachos tells us all the dinim of tefillin are mentioned in the Gemara Maseches Menachos. So the Gemara tells us here, we have it on the sheet, on the very top of the page, on Daf Mem Dalet. The Gemara tells us in the middle of the line, V'amarei Shlokish kol hameniach tefillin ma'arich yomim, that any person who puts on tefillin is ma'arich yomim. That's a skula that a person should have, arichus yomim, should have a long life. How do we know this? Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk in Sefer Yeshaya, Hashem aleihem yichyu. So there's a Pasuk which says that Hashem aleihem, that if Hashem is on them, yichyu, they will live. That's the interpretation of the Chazal of this Pasuk, which means that when a person wears tefillin, so we carry the Shem Hashem upon us. That's the nature of the mitzvah of tefillin. And therefore, a person is zoche to arichas yomim. So says the Gemara. In the Tur, this is spoken out at greater length based on quotations from something called Shimush Rabba. There is a sefer which we have of unknown authorship, which is called the Shimusha Rabba. This is a small sefer which deals with the laws of tefillin, and it is dated to the period of the Gaonim, to the early period of the Gaonim, meaning, let's say, approximately the year 700 or 800 of the Common Era. And at that time, we don't have a lot that was written at that time, but there are some svarim that we have. And this is one. We don't have it intact. You can't go to a store and buy it. However, it is quoted widely in the Rishonim, and especially in the Rush, who wrote a special section of his work which dealt with the Hilchos Tefillin. So it's called Shimusha Rabba. And they have there quotations from Chazal that we don't find in the Gemara. But nevertheless, they're considered authoritative. So we have here on the sheet, quoting from this Sefer, it says, V'amar Rava kol ha-miniach tefillin u'misatef b'tzitzis v'karei kriya shma u'mispawel, that any person who puts on tefillin and tzitzis and says kriya shma and davens the Shemon Esrei, muftach lo shehu ben olam haba. Right? So it is guaranteed that that person will merit olam haba. Okay? So that's a tremendous thing, that a person who would, you know, as much as we say kol Yisrael yeshlam chelak olam haba, but if you read further there in Sanhedrin, there are ways that it's possible a person could not have Olam Haba. Nevertheless, Rava tells us that a person who puts on tefillin and tzitzis and davens with them is guaranteed. It continues here and says, V'amar Abaya Ma'ariv Anibo, I want to include in this, She'ein Gehenim Sholipo, that such a person will not have be affected by the Gehenim. Rav Papa Amar Ma'ariv Anibo, She'kol Avonosov Nimcholim, that a person who puts on tefillin and davens, all his sins will be forgiven. Now again, anytime you see statements like that, that doesn't mean that, okay, great, so I put on tefillin this morning, so now yeah, I'm off to the races, right? So now I'll go to spend the rest of the day doing Averis. It doesn't mean that, obviously, but the point, hard to know exactly what the Chazal meant by that, but what it means is that it's a merit, it's a great merit in the person's favor. It's a great merit in the person's favor that his sins would be forgiven. Okay, but then he continues and says, "V'chol she'eino manichan," but a person who does not put on tefillin, so hu b'chlal poshe Yisrael begufan. This person is considered in the category of poshe Yisrael. Poshe Yisrael means the sinners of Israel, or some translate it as the rebels of Israel, begufan, who sin with their body, right? That which is considered a higher level, a higher form of a sin, because of the fact that the person's very essence is being used to sin. Okay, so he says, "L'chein tzar kol adam liyo zaris bohem." So therefore, it is a mitzvah. It's very, very important that everyone should be careful. That people should be very, very meticulous when it comes to the mitzvah of tefillin. That we should be very careful to fulfill this mitzvah, because there's a lot riding on it. On the one hand, you have the fact that it has so many benefits, guarantees a person olam haba, is a schus that a person's sins should be forgiven. And on the other hand, a person who doesn't put on tefillin is considered poshe Yisrael begufan. What does this mean, that a person is poshe Yisrael begufan? So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on Dav Yud Zayin, okay, the next paragraph here on the sheet. So the Gemara says that poshe Yisrael begufan, at the end of the top line, poshe Yisrael begufan, poshe yomis ho'olam begufan, yardum l'gehenem v'nidonim ba'yud beis chodesh. That there's not a pretty picture. A person who is considered a sinner with his body in that sense. And the Gemara says all kinds of terrible things. So clearly, without getting into the nitty gritty of it, the point being that it's very important that a person should do whatever they can to avoid this, being in this status of poshe Yisrael begufan. So the Gemara elaborates further. If you go to the next paragraph, the Gemara says, so what does it mean? What is an example of poshe Yisrael begufan? So the Gemara says in the next paragraph on the second line, poshe Yisrael begufan may niyu. What is that referring to? Amarav karkafta delo monach tefillin. So Rav said, this refers to karkafta, this refers to a head that did not put on tefillin. A person, a guf of a person that did not put on tefillin. So that is considered a sinner begufa. Now, it happens to be that in this very Gemara, there were two girsos, there were two texts of the Gemara, and if one looks in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, it's printed the way we have it right here. However, many Rishonim had the girsa that it means, kakafta delo monach tefillin me'olam, that it means a person who never put on tefillin. But a person who did put on tefillin, but albeit he didn't put it on all the time, he didn't put it on every day, whatever it is, would not be in that category. So here there's a very big machlokas in the Rishonim, and we'll soon see the Mishnah Brura's take on this. But this is what the Gemara says. So I'll call upon him whatever you say, regardless of this exact point. It comes out, though, that clearly when the Chazal are trying to give an example of what's considered a very serious transgression, so not putting on tefillin is considered right there at the top of the list. Poshe Yisrael begufan, which is quite a remarkable thing when you consider that all you're really doing by not wearing tefillin is not fulfilling a positive commandment. You're not violating an aveira. It's not like a person machal Shabbos, not like a person who's eating something which isn't kosher. He's not doing a kum vaseh. He's not actively doing an aveira. Nevertheless, this is only sheval tasa. This is a person who's just simply not doing a mitzvah. Nevertheless, there are certain mitzvahs that are considered so, so important that it carries all this weight. And tefillin is at the top of the list. Okay, so therefore, we have this idea that the person, on the one hand, has to be very careful because there's so much good comes from it. So much good comes from a person putting on tefillin, right? On the other hand, the person who does not put it on, so that sin is considered a major, major transgression. Now, the question is, to what does it mean, a person that didn't put on tefillin? So as we said a moment ago, there are those that say it means, many say it means a person who never put on tefillin. But there are others who say that it means even a person who sometimes doesn't put on tefillin, or even one time didn't put on tefillin. So if you turn over the page here to the Shulchan Aruch, so the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Aleph, I'm sorry, it's a little bit dark at the edges, the Shulchan Aruch says, Godol schar mitzvah tefillin, that the reward for the mitzvah of tefillin is great, V'chol mi she'enu menichem, that any person who does not put them on is b'chlal poshe Yisrael begufan, is considered in this category. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean he never puts it on, or just he skips some days? So the Mishneh Berurah says, in Beis on the bottom, he says that the perish afilu miniyoso hu rak leprokim, that this is true about a person. Mishneh Berurah paskins, quoting from Achronim, that this is true even if a person only went for times without putting, goes for times without putting on tefillin. Okay, and he says the prima godim, one of the later Achronim quotes dafiu mishenu miniach tefillin yom echad who gam ken b'chlal poshe Yisrael. That even a person who doesn't put on tefillin for one day would be in this category. So therefore, we certainly have reason to be very meticulous when it comes to this mitzvah. It's not always easy for a person to put on tefillin certain times of the year. A person could be very busy, and a person, you know, and especially they have to get up very early in the morning, like we've discussed in the past. But nevertheless, this is a mitzvah that a person has to do. A person has to be very careful, yes.
If you're really sick.
Okay, so what about a person who's really sick? Okay, very good question. What happens if a person's sick? So Tosfos on the Gemara, which is not on the sheet, but Tosfos on the Gemara quotes the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, which many people quote, which is that Rabbeinu Tam said this is only a person who doesn't put on tefillin because the mitzvah is bozoy alav, because it doesn't mean anything to him. He doesn't put, you know, what's the big deal? I put it on, don't put it on, not, no big deal. But if a person does not put on the tefillin due to the fact that he's torud, due to the fact that he really does respect it very much, and just that, whatever, today is just a crazy day. Just a crazy day. Or a person who is not well and is an onus, so then, okay, then that person, then that, it says Rabbeinu Tam, that that person would not be included in this category of Poshe Yisrael Begufan. That person would not be considered in this very severe category. However, that doesn't mean that it's correct. In other words, still in all, to say that this is a terrible aveira when a person knows that tefillin is important, just that for whatever reason he can't, so we're not going to say that puts him as Poshe Yisrael Begufan. But it's still an iser not to put on tefillin, unless a person is so sick that they can't. If a person absolutely can't put on tefillin, or we'll soon see an example of that, so then, all right, then we have a qual in the Torah that onus rachmana patre, a person who is in the case of extreme situation, so the Torah doesn't hold you responsible for that. So if a person can't, he can't. What could you do? But a person who other than that, is able to put on tefillin, so that person should do. So even that, you know, and the reason being, because we'll soon see that it doesn't take so long to fulfill the mitzvah. It does not take so long to fulfill the basic mitzvah. So therefore, a person should try. A person in the hospital should try to get someone to help them. You know, whatever. Sometimes the patient can't do it themselves. But it's definitely an inyan that a person should, to whatever degree they can, should try to do it and not just use the excuse. But to say that it's Poshe Yisrael Begufan, it's correct. The Rabbeinu Tam says it would not be considered in the category of Poshe Yisrael Begufan. Okay, now another example of where a person would not have to wear tefillin would be a person whose physical state is such that the person does not have a guf naki. The person does not have a body that's clean. In other words, you could have, without going into specifics, but a person could be in a situation where they don't have control over their certain aspects of their bodily functions, and therefore the person should not put on tefillin. The person should not put on tefillin because we'll soon see tefillin needs a guf naki, and in a case like that, again, yes, so then that person surely should not put on tefillin, right? There's a very big shiloh, which I don't want to get into now, but which comes up. We have a person who has a contagious disease, and the doctor says that anything that comes into contact with a person, a very, very serious contagious disease, that to such a degree that the person has to be quarantined, okay? And the doctor says that anything that comes in contact with this person has to be destroyed. It has to be. It can't be released because it'll carry the germ or whatever it is, and it could affect other people. So there's a question, can you bring tefillin to such a person? In other words, you can bring the person the tefillin, but then they're going to have to destroy the tefillin. So that's a question that's discussed in the poskim at length, whether what the right thing to do is in that case. But short of that, we have this case where a person does not have a guf naki, and therefore then too a person should not put on tefillin, but at all costs a person should try to do what they can. A person should try to do what they can, and you will see more about this in a moment. So now, if you look here at the Mishnah Brura, the next piece in the Mishnah Brura in Gimel, he quotes this idea from Rabbeinu Tam, okay, that says that if a person is worried about a gufnaki, he's not in the category of Posh Yisrael Begufan. So if we look further, he says, halfway down this bays, there's a period in the line, he says, V'dad the kosef habach, dafilum eina mitzvah b'zuya be'enav. Even if a person is, he has great regard for the mitzvah. Ach memana melahanicha mipnei bitul malacha, o shar hefsid mamin, o machmas atzlus. But he doesn't put on the tefillin either because he's too busy. He's afraid if he goes to shul to put on the tefillin, he's gonna, you know, he leaves his tefillin in the shul, and he wakes up one morning and says, I have so many things to do today, I'm gonna lose money if I go to shul, I don't have a minute, so I'll skip it for today. So the Bach says, no, that's also not correct. That's not correct. And he says that such a person, gam keinu b'chlau posh Yisrael b'gufan, that's also considered a very serious transgression. So therefore, this is not a joke. When it comes to tefillin, as I say, it gets misunderstood as much as people have machshavit, as much as people take it seriously, but a little bit gets misunderstood because you could always rationalize and say, ah, what's the big deal? You know, it's only a mitzvah saseh, it's not a mitzvah lo saseh, so I'm very careful not to do any of the lavin, but this is a mitzvah saseh. But this mitzvah saseh, this positive mitzvah, has a weight that no other mitzvah has. Okay, and then he says further, the Chafetz Chaim took the opportunity to throw in something which is very relevant. He says two lines before the lines get wide. He says, "V'davar zehu tochacha megula la'osam anoshim." He says, "This is an open rebuke to people shemipnei atzlusan that due to laziness or whatever motzu sheiyu tfilein munachin al mitzchan v'loach hakafta." People who are not careful to make sure that the tefillin is put in the right place. In other words, this is a very big issue that we have.
A burning issue.
A burning issue, right. This is an issue that we have very much, because the reality is that, you know, somehow when it comes to tefillin, as much as important, but I know in yeshivas, so they teach boys before the bar mitzvah, obviously, the laws of tefillin, and then somehow the mentality is that once you get past that point, you don't review the laws of tefillin. That's like kid stuff. Everybody knows that. It's like, you know, so then it comes to learning halacha, people look into the laws of Shabbos and they look into the laws of Kriya Shema, whatever it may be. But the laws of tefillin don't get reviewed so much. And it happens to be that there's very specific halacha, how tefillin is supposed to be worn. Tefillin has to be worn in a certain place on the arm, certain place on the head. It must be worn that way. Now, there's a further reality that leather stretches, okay, which means that a person could have gotten tefillin and had it fit on his head by a sofer when he got the tefillin, but then, it, like any other leather, it stretches out. Over time, it stretches out, and slowly but surely, it creeps down on his head and it gets past the hairline, past the point where it belongs. And a lot of times you go in shul and you see this. And it's a very big problem, because nobody, the problem is twofold. The problem is that the person wearing the tefillin can't see, because he can't see his face. So he can't, you know, unless you have one of these little tefillin mirrors, right? But a lot of people don't look into those. So therefore you don't have that. And people get very insulted when you tell them. I remember that when I used to live in New York, so there was a certain sofer that I went to. He was an Israeli guy, a hard-nosed type of fellow, a little aggressive. So when people would bring him tefillin to be fixed, he had the practice that he would say, first put on the tefillin. I want to see how you wear the tefillin, and then I'll fix them for you. This is what he said. Okay, a little aggressive. So I was one time there by him, and I needed him to do certain adjustments or whatever it was. And a man comes in, this sofer at that time was probably, I'd say, 45 years old. And a man, probably in his early 70s, very active person, comes in and he says, I need something done with my tefillin. So the sofer says, okay, but I have this a policy that you have to first put on the tefillin. So the guy said, fine. So he puts on the tefillin, and he put on the tefillin shel Rosh, and it went down too far on his hairline. So the sofer said, I just want you to know, it's not good the way you have it. I'll fix it for you. I'll be happy to fix it for you, but it's not good the way you have it. So this man got all upset, and he said, you're telling me how to put on tefillin? I've been putting on tefillin since before you were born. Don't tell me how to put on tefillin. And he grabbed his tefillin and stormed out. Now, this is a mistake, because it happened to anybody. It's not a question of the person is right or wrong or trying to do the wrong thing. It happens. It happens even, it stretches out. So therefore, it's important to the Chafetz Chaim here says, this is, he takes the opportunity here when the Shulchan Aruch is discussing a person doesn't put on tefillin. He says that included in that is not wearing tefillin in the right place. Not wearing tefillin in the right place is also it's kedai sometimes. They should really, and I don't usually mix in these areas, but sometimes it would be a good idea that every shul should bring down a sofer once in a while just to give a quick look. It's not a big deal. You can fix it in literally inside of a minute. In less than a minute, it could be taken care of. And then the person will have the tefillin l'chatchila. But it's heartbreaking that sometimes people come to Mosa Nefesh and never miss a day. They come to shul and never miss a day and always put on the tefillin. But over time, the time has taken its toll on the tefillin. And therefore, this is something that I think, the Chafetz Chaim here is pointing this out, that this is something that it's nothing, it's not an embarrassment. It can happen to anybody. It can happen to any person. It has nothing to do with how good the tefillin are. Leather stretches. That's one of the facts of life. And therefore, it could happen. A person should sometimes ask someone else. I can't see. Am I tefillin in the? I once had it myself. Someone came over to me and pointed out. It happened to me one year on Purim. It happened to me. A person came over to me and said, "I think your tefillin are not on correctly." And naturally, I had the same reaction that he's crazy. There's no talk about him. This guy is a Russia. All the cheshbonos, came into my head. He's an evil person, and he's done so many other things wrong. All these thoughts came into my head at the same time. But then I looked into it, and I saw that he was correct. And I had it adjusted. And to this day, every year on Purim, I say Baruch Hashem that it was pointed out to me. I was making a mistake. Many years ago, a person pointed out to me, and it's interesting because the pasuk in the Megillas Esther, Ehud Ma'aser V'Simcha V'Sasam V'Yikar, so the Chazal interpret the pasuk Yikar is tefillin. So there's a special school on Purim for tefillin. So I always thought that maybe I had the schus that on Purim someone pointed out to me. But it happens sometimes. A person is not anything that a person should get insulted by. It can happen to anybody. A person makes a mistake. So what doesn't realize? So especially when it comes to the tefillin shel Rosh, but it's kedai, it's worthwhile that people should review from time to time just where exactly the tefillin should be placed, so that once we're putting it on, should be the right put in the right place. This is what the Chafetz Chaim says over here. Okay, so thus we have it, the basic din of putting on tefillin and the chomer ho'inyan, both in terms of the positive and in terms of the negative. Now, the question is, this was the title, the topic of the shir, how long does a person have to wear tefillin? So how long each day does a person have to wear tefillin? And this is obviously relevant because very often people are in a rush and all kinds of things. Sometimes they have a situation where you have to daven without tefillin. Is there any minimum? So, and on the other hand, what is the explanation for the practice that we have today to wear it when we daven? So it happens to be that the Rambam tells us, we have it here on the sheet, if you turn back to the first page. So the Rambam tells us that in Halacha Chav Vav, the Rambam says that Afo Pishim Mitzvasim Lulov Shan Kol Ayom, the Rambam says that really the mitzvah is to wear tefillin the whole day. Right? Because tefillin is a mitzvah, and it's a mitzvah that the Torah says that you're supposed to do, and the Torah doesn't give a boundary for it. So the mitzvah is to do it all day. Now, as far, what about at night? So we've discussed in the past that at night we do not wear tefillin, but there's a machlokus in the Gemara whether Laila is man tefillin or not, and we hold the halacha that Laila is man tefillin, that be'etzem a person could fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin, putting on the tefillin at night. However, the rabbis said, the chachamim said, a person shouldn't do it out of the concern that a person will fall asleep wearing the tefillin, and that's not a good thing. So therefore, we don't wear tefillin at night. But certainly during the day, the mitzvah is to wear the tefillin the whole day. So the Rambam says, but b'shas tefila yeser min hakol, that when we daven, so then it's even more so than any other time. It was a very interesting thing, right? And then he quotes, Amru chachamim ko akari kriyashma b'lo tefillin, that any person who says Kriyashma without wearing tefillin is as if he's saying false testimony about himself. Why is that true? So most people would assume because it speaks about tefillin and Kriyashma, but the Meiri, one of the Rishonim, tells us a little more than that. The Meiri says in the Gemara and Brachas that the reason for this is because of the fact that in Kriyashma, so we speak about Kabbalah's HaMitzvahs, right? Vayim Shema'a Tishma'a HaMitzvahs, right? Hashem speaks about, we say that, you know, Hashem tells us you have to keep all the mitzvahs. So the most basic mitzvah is a mitzvah of tefillin. So a person speaking about the importance of accepting mitzvahs, Kabbalah's all mitzvahs, he's not wearing tefillin. So that's kiwu meirei the sheker. So therefore, the custom became that certainly, we wear tefillin at that time. Yes?
If for some reason a person cannot use their tefillin for
shopping. Yeah. What's by mincha? We'll get to that soon.
But they can get their tefillin, let's say, later on in the morning.
Right.
Should they wait till...
Very good question. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Okay. Good question. So, if we go back here to the... The Rambam is telling us that in reality, a person should wear the tefillin the whole day. It's this particular inyan that a person should do it for Kriyashma and tefillah. Now, if you turn back to the Shulchan Aruch says here in Sif Beis that really mitzvason liyosam alof kolayom, that really the mitzvah of tefillin is to wear it the whole day, but there are two reasons that we don't wear it anymore the whole day. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Avam Ipnesha, Tzrichim Guf Noki Shelo Yafiach Behem. Says the Shulchan Aruch that since tefillin are considered Davar Shebikdusha, since it's a holy, it's like essentially wrapping a Sefer Torah around the person. That's what you're doing. It's a section of a Sefer Torah. So therefore, it requires a clean body. A clean body means that the body that's wearing it has to be free of any problems, any discharges, or even from flatulence. So therefore, since it's difficult, or it could be difficult for a person to say that I'll be a whole day able to guard myself against that. So that's one reason that we don't wear the tefillin the whole day. And the second thing is, shelo yasiach daito mehem, that a person is not supposed to be distracted from the awareness of wearing tefillin, which we'll soon see what that means. Right? In other words, there are two requirements when it comes to tefillin. It requires a certain degree of sanctity, right? And the sanctity is in two aspects. One of them is from a physical standpoint, and the other is from a conduct standpoint. In other words, the way a person conducts himself. A person going to be involved joking around and different things. It's disrespectful to the tefillin. So because of those facts, says the Shulchan Aruch, Nogu shelo la'anicham kol hayom. It became the custom that we don't wear tefillin all day. In other words, it's unclear exactly how far back this goes, but it's certainly obviously many centuries that it became the practice that tefillin is not worn all day long. Really it should be, but it's not done anymore. And the truth is, once it became the practice not to do it, so then really a person not supposed to do it, because then you get into the concern of nechse ki yuara, that to do it looks like a person is showing off, looks like a person is bragging, it's ostentatious, and so forth. Yes?
While you're on the subject,
yes.
There was a gadol,
yes,
not wear tefillin after he had a colostomy.
Okay.
Because his body was...
Okay, there you have. Okay, fine.
Ever again, because he had a colostomy.
Because he thought it. Okay. If you have a situation like that, all right, you know, then ain't a chenami. That would be a issue of a gufnaki. You know, I don't know exactly the ins and outs of all the medical situations, but clearly that's a concern. That's a concern that every person has. Plus, as I say, the idea of having reverence. So therefore, we don't wear the tefillin the whole day, and in fact, it's not considered acceptable to do it. Unless the person is known to be a big tzaddik, a person should not do it. The fact is that even those who do very often hide it. That they hide the tefillin. There used to be Rav Scheinberg, that Zatzal just passed away a couple of years ago, who lived past the age of 100, who was a person who wore the tefillin the whole day, and I knew him personally, but he used to walk around always covered. He wore a hat on top of his tefillin shel rosh, and his sleeve was always covering his tefillin shel rosh. You couldn't tell. Unless you stayed with him for a long period of time, you could not tell that he was wearing the tefillin. But today, you see people who, you know, go and try to make it like they're very righteous. It's questionable whether that's the right thing to do. I'm not saying maybe there are righteous people, but generally that type of thing is frowned upon. Okay, however, the Shulchan Aruch says, "Mikol makom tzarech kol adam lizor behem." He says, but nevertheless, every person has to be careful. We also love b'shas kriyashmo tefillah. A person has to be careful that at least he should be wearing it for kriyashmo tefillah. Now, why Kriya Shema and Tefillah? Because, so it's like this. So, first of all, the simplest understanding of this is that when it comes to Kriya Shema and Tefillah, so anyway a person has to be concerned about these things. In other words, Tefillin is not the only thing that needs a Guf Naki. Tefillah also needs a Guf Naki. So, and Kriya Shema is a reverent thing. So therefore, the reason why it became the minhag to wear Tefillin when we daven Shachris is because of the fact that you have the Kriya Shema, which we just said, that a person who is not supposed to say Kriya Shema without tefillin, for other reason, right? And you have the Shemoneh Esrei, and during those times, there is anyway a requirement to be careful about these things. So there's nothing new that comes about by wearing tefillin. No, it's not like, oh, now that I'm wearing tefillin, I really have to be careful. Those things that you have to be careful about, you have to be careful by Kriya Shema anyway. You have to be careful by tefillah anyway. So therefore, it became the minhag that's when we wear it. Then that's when we wear it. And it could very well be that it's for that reason that we don't put on tefillin for mincha. In other words, the question one would ask, it has been asked here already, that why don't, if you made the minhag to put on tefillin when you daven so already, we should put on for mincha too. Right, which would certainly change, make a major alteration in the way we lead our lives, because mincha is not an easy thing. Yes?
We do it every year.
You do it every year on Tisha B'Av. Correct. You do it every year on Tisha B'Av. So imagine you had to do it the rest of the year, right? All those mincha minyanim, you'd be frantically running to put on the tefillin. So the truth is, if you look here in the Bir Halacha, where is it? He quotes somewhere in the second Bir Halacha on the left-hand side of the page, B'shas Kriyashmo Tefillah, so he quotes Menachem Azaria. Rav Menachem Azaria was a great Italian rabbi, he's known as Ramami Pano, that he wrote that he instituted that tefillin should be put on by mincha as well. That's what he wrote. That in his community, he told everybody they should put on tefillin for mincha. But the fact of the matter is that we don't do this. The minute by us is not to do it. I've seen people who do, but generally speaking, the minhag is not to. The Ramami Pano was a great Kabbalist. He was also a great halachic authority, but he was a great Kabbalist. He was a very holy man. He said you should put on for mincha too. The minhag is not that way. But why is it for shachris? So if anything, you would ask, what do you mean? Mincha is even easier than shachris. If you're so worried that you should have a guf naki, you shouldn't have a hesach hadas, you should surely put it on for mincha, because it takes much shorter time to daven mincha than to daven shachris. But nevertheless, I assume the pshat is that it's a combination of factors. Number one is that you have the Kriya Shema and the tefillah by shachris, so you know, the Kriya Shema you don't have by mincha. And probably because it was a tirda for people, a very difficult thing for people in the middle of the day to do it. So somehow the mitzvah evolved that we only wear the tefillin by shachris. Okay, so that is the psak that we have from the Shulchan Aruch. However, the Chafetz Chaim points out, very interesting, not in the Mishnah Berurah, but in one of his other svarim called Nidchei Yisroel, he writes there that what happens if a person did not have tefillin when he davened shachris? He didn't have tefillin, for whatever reason. He didn't have. He couldn't get his hands on a pair of tefillin. He went away, whatever. And now for mincha, he gets the tefillin. So really the right thing is that the Chafetz Chaim says, should put on the tefillin for mincha. Right now, you don't necessarily see people doing it. What's that?
There's no problem saying Kriya Shema and Mar because we're considered onis because of the fear of falling.
Yeah, saying Kriya Shema without tefillin by Mar. Correct. That's right. But by mincha, if a person did not have the tefillin, or sometimes it happens that a person has to repeat the Shema, you know, davening tashlumin, the person could not daven shachris for whatever reason. They were the whole morning, they were tarud, and so forth, and now they're going to And now is the first opportunity to put on tefillin. They just got their hands on tefillin. So the Chafetz Chaim himself said that that's really the right thing, that the person should have mincha with tefillin on.
With the brachos,
yes. So, but other than that, generally speaking, we don't, the custom is that we do it by shachris. Now, it happens to be that what happens if a person, this is halacha that we say that a person who says Kriya Shema without tefillin is considered made Eid Sheker. What happens if a person is going to miss this man Kriya Shema? What happens if you know that you're not going to get the tefillin until the after this man? So in that case, the halacha is that you should say Kriya Shema first. In other words, even though the Chazal say that it's ki'ilu made Eid Sheker ba'atzmo, but that's only a lechatchila. If there's any good reason at all that a person needs to say Shema without the tefillin, so then he should do so, certainly rather than miss this man. And other situations as well, sometimes a person cannot daven shachris with tefillin because in a place where you just can't. So he should not hold himself back from davening. He should still daven, but nevertheless, later on should put on the tefillin. Now, what about, the question was asked earlier, what happens in the following case, which comes up, that a person doesn't have tefillin, he goes into a shul and they're davening. So someone in the shul says, okay, I just want to daven Shemoneh Esrei, and then I'll take off my tefillin, I'll give it to you to put on. So he's not going to have tefillin until after Shemoneh Esrei, but he wants to know, should he say Shemoneh Esrei with the tzibur or not? Should he daven with the minyan, which has all the benefits of tefillah b'tzibur, but he won't be wearing tefillin? Or should he say, no, I'll wait till after, I'll get the tefillin, I'll daven yechidus. So what should be done in that situation? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes, this is not on the sheet. Is it on the sheet? Let's see. No, it is on the sheet. If you go back to side A, the Mishnah Berurah here, the bottom of the page, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from here in Sifkat and Mem, not the one that's underlined. On the second line, he says that V'hu adin in Misyari Shiavris Mantfila, etc. He says... He says, Tzarech Ian, Misha Emlo Tfilin, Be'esha Tzibur Mispawalim. Right? A person who doesn't have tefillin at the time of davening, so what's better? Should he daven without tefillin or daven, with Shemoneh Esrei with the Tzibur or say it himself later? So he says, he quotes Pasuk HaMogen Avram, 2 lines from the bottom, Pasuk HaMogen Avram, the Mutuv Shi Yisakev Achar Tfilis Tzibur, the Yishal Tfilin, the Mogen Avram Paskin, that it's better in that situation he should forego davening with a minyan. He should forego davening with a minyan and in order to be able to say his own Shemoneh Esrei with the tefillin, Kadesh Yikra Kriyashma Vyispal B'tefillin, in order that he should have the benefits of saying Kriyashma and davening with a minyan. So sometimes this happens, all kinds of scenarios, sometimes a person gives in his tefillin to be checked, and the sulfur won't give it back, it takes a couple of days, whatever it is, so he doesn't have tefillin. It's better to daven with tefillin, even if it means foregoing the minyan. That doesn't mean a person shouldn't go to shul, obviously. In other words, there are other benefits to going to shul aside from the tefillah b'tzibur. You get to answer Davar Shebikdusha, you get to answer Kaddish and Kedusha, and some days Kriya Satara, etc. But in terms of the tefillah b'tzibur, it's better that a person should daven on his own with tefillin, which shows you the importance of davening with tefillin. And therefore, even though we said earlier that, the original mitzvah is to wear tefillin all day, we don't do that anymore. But to wear tefillin when a person daven shachris is considered very, very important. Now, let's say though a person was not able to get his hands on tefillin until after the time for shachris. In other words, he had no choice. If he would have waited, he would have missed everything. He would have missed his zman tefillah also. So now he finally got his hands on a pair of tefillin, and now what's he going to do? Right, so how long, this is directly the question that the Shir had, how long is there any minimum amount of time that you have to wear the tefillin? After all, since our custom is that we wear tefillin by shachris every day, so let's say it takes on the average at least a half an hour, right? Let's assume, let's hope, right? A half an hour to daven shachris. So then it should, so the person said, now I got tefillin, so should I put on the tefillin for a half hour or not? I had, this happens to everyone at some point or another. I had once a very amazing experience about 15 years ago. I was in Eretz Yisrael in the winter, and I went with my wife there was a bus that goes to the Maris Machpelah to Chevron, and we went there, and I did not listen to the weather report, and they were predicting a snowstorm. And sure enough, it happened, and we went into the Marasim Chpelah Seder for about an hour. By the time we came out, there were already 3 inches of snow on the ground, and it kept snowing very heavily, and they could not get back to Yerushalayim. This was on a Thursday. It was on a Thursday afternoon. They couldn't get back. We sat on the highway the whole night. The whole night, the total gridlock was 18 inches of snow. And there was no way you could get back. And then they informed us that you're not even going to be able to get back for Shabbos. And it was an interesting situation for all those that were on this bus. So they put us, in Kiryat Arba, there is a Hesdi yeshiva there, very beautiful yeshiva. And they told us that they had guest rooms and you could stay there for Shabbos and you could eat there and so forth. So that's where we went. But by the time it was a dangerous situation because we were on the road in a Palestinian area, so we had to be taken away by military vehicles and then brought to a safe location. So whatever it was, by the time Friday morning, by the time things settled down, it was already 11 o'clock in the morning, and I didn't have my tefillin. And here I was the whole night. You know, we were up the whole night, and now I came in. This yeshiva was not in session on Friday. So I personally have all the challenges with tefillin because I'm a lefty and I have a very large head size. So therefore, to find tefillin that fit is not so easy. But this yeshiva, they had many pairs of tefillin. There's halacha that you could use a person's tefillin without asking them because of the fact that we will go with the principle that a person is happy that their property should be used for a mitzvah. So even though one could debate what that applies to and what it doesn't. But I went through, must have been about 20 pairs of tefillin, looking for one that fit me, until finally I came across it. And the fellow who had it, I assume never found out, doesn't know that happened. After one day, after 120 years, they'll give me a shakayach that you helped someone in Miami put on tefillin. He probably never was aware of it. But the fact is that's sometimes what happens. So now the question is, you get your hands on such tefillin, how long do you have to wear it for? So the Mishnah Berurah here in the beginning of the piece, the Mishnah Berurah says that a person who thinks, he says, in misyore, this is on the third line from the top of the paragraph, the end of the line, in misyore sheyavar zman tefillah, if a person is afraid that he's going to miss this zman tefillah, mispawo b'li tefillin, so he should daven without it, v'tekef k'sheyavo achakach liyodo be'emsa hayom o b'mincha yanichem, and then as soon as he gets the tefillin, he should put them on, V'yomer eze mizmar, and he should just say some mizmar. He should just say something. One parak of tefillin. Meaning that the halacha is that really to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin, l'chatchila, the way it was meant to be, tefillin should have been worn the whole day. But that's already long gone. We don't do that. We put on tefillin only when we daven. But let's say for whatever reason a person couldn't get the tefillin, and now finally he gets his hands on it, it just takes 1 second. 1 second of wearing the tefillin to fulfill the mitzvah. That's all you need. In other words, that a person should not be considered poshi yisro begufo, that a person, going back to what we said at the outset, that a person should not be considered in this high level of a sinner that he doesn't put on the tefillin. You just need to wear it for a second or a minute, whatever. So the Mishnah Berurah says that to give it some chashivus, a person should say a mizmar, say to take a parak of tefillin, but there are some parakim of tefillin that are very short. You can say it, in just a few seconds. So, okay, that's it. That's all that's really needed. But preferably, as we see, in other words, on the one hand, that's the way it is. On the other hand, the inyan of tefillin is very great, and therefore a person should try at all costs not to have that happen. Okay, but to answer the question of the share, is there a minimum amount of time that a person has to wear tefillin on any given day? The answer is no. You just have to wear it for a moment. This is the psak of all the achronim. There is a question whether the chiyuv to wear it all day is midaraisa, midarabanan, but whatever it may be, a person can be yotzei wearing even for a short period of time, but it's not the best thing to do. Meaning that if you have a way to avoid that, if you have a way to surely daven, or even if you couldn't get the tefillin to the afternoon, so a little bit, you should say something to have at least the mitzvah for a few moments. Yes?
Is there an Indian of wearing your own tefillin versus wearing a borrowed pair?
No, there's no Indian per se. The person that does not have to own his tefillin, there's no din of lachem like there is, let's say, by a lulav on the first day of Sukkot. There is no din like that when it comes to tefillin. However, for many practical reasons, it's obvious a person should have his own. But if you don't have your own, you should get from someone else, just that you should know that the person that has good tefillin.
No, let's say you could borrow a pair. for shakris.
Yes.
Or you have your own pair.
No, if you know, again, the thing is, you have to know that the tefillin you're borrowing, not all tefillin, unfortunately, are good. There are people out there who sell tefillin that aren't good, so you have to know you got it from a reliable source. Right, the person got it from a reliable source. But assuming that's true, there's no special thing to wait for your own tefillin. No, as long as you know it's good. Now, I just want to point out something that could be a topic for a different shiur, is that there are two different ways, really three, but two main ways that the letters of tefillin are written. In other words, Sifrei Torah, sometimes you hear this expression, you go to buy a mezuzah, they say you want a Beis Yosef or you want an Arizal. Now, if you don't know what that means is that there are two different, some of the letters are made differently according to the Kabbalah than according to the Gemara. What's called the Beis Yosef Ksav is written according to the way it's detailed in the Gemara, but there are some letters that are made differently according to the Mekubalim. And therefore, the Arizal, the people who follow the custom of the Arizal, mainly Hasidim, right, make the letters differently. Now here, it just has the truth of the matter is, if you go into any shul and you open up the tefillin of people, it'll probably split 50-50 between two. I think the Sofrim have told me over the years, I've asked that more tefillin is written the Arizal than not, which is strange because most people are not Hasidim anymore. But nevertheless, somehow that became the way it is. So now you do have to know, really, l'chadchila, a person should put on tefillin according to his custom. To the Eved, you probably yotze, you'd be yotze the other way too. But the reality is, l'chadchila, a person should try to put on according to his own custom. Right? So therefore, it's generally better to put on your own tefillin, but it doesn't have to be. Okay, now, I'm sorry, but hold on a second. You have a question? Go ahead.
I remember in school and also in the Siddur, I see some paragraphs around the time of putting on tefillin.
Yeah, yeah.
I forgot the name of the paragraph, but
the what you say before you put on tefillin, the various the parashas of tefillin, things like that. There are different minhagim. People do that, but none of those things are ma'akif. In other words, the bottom line is that the main thing is the person should say Kriya Shema and tefillah. Now another shiloh which comes up is very interesting shiloh. Is what happens if a person lives in Eretz Yisrael and they come to America for Yontif? Okay, they come to America, let's say for Pesach. Okay, so now and they have the custom that they put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Well, vice versa, you'll see why I'm not saying. A person comes from Eretz Yisrael to America. So the second day of Yontif by him is Chol HaMoed. Now, if he has the custom, which is the main Ashkenazi custom, is in fact to put on tefillin Chol HaMoed, contrary to popular opinion, right? The people who don't put on tefillin Chol HaMoed are chassidim and briskers. It's the only thing in the world they agree upon, is that they should not put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed, right? So therefore, but everyone else, the Rambam paskins that you're supposed to do it, but most people, since they come from chassidic origins, don't put on tefillin Chol HaMoed. It's questionable if you don't follow any of the other chassidic practices, whether you have the right to rely on that, but I don't want to start trouble, but whatever the case may be. But let's say this fellow puts on tefillin Chol HaMoed. Now he comes to America, so the second day of Pesach he has to put on tefillin, because it's not Yontif for him. But he has to observe the Yontif publicly. He cannot publicly deviate from the Minhag HaMakom. So if everybody, he can't go turn the lights on in the shul, right? If the lights go off in the middle of davening, they say, hey, Mr. Israeli, go please turn on the lights for us. He can't do that because of the fact that he has to observe the Minhag. So now he can't daven in the shul with tefillin on, but he has to put on tefillin. So the question is, what should he do in that situation? Should he forego going to shul? Similar type question. Should he put on the tefillin, say, all right, listen, I got to daven with tefillin, so I'll stand in the back and I'll put on tefillin and that'll be it. And everyone else is dressed for Yontif and he's Chol HaMoed and he's wearing the tefillin. So they have a psak from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that he said you should not do that. It's better you should daven privately, even though it means missing the tefillah b'tzibur, especially because of the fact that the Shmoneh Esrei that he's going to say is different than what they're going to say. Because they're saying the Yontif Shmoneh Esrei and he's saying the daily Shmoneh Esrei. So although it's still considered tefillah b'tzibur if you're saying all Shmoneh Esrei at the same time, but it's not the same status, that's what he said. Okay. Now, just getting to the end here. We said at the origin, we said at the outset that a person is not supposed to have With the reason why we don't wear tefillin all day is because of the concern of guf naki, right? A clean body, and hesach hadas. Hesach hadas means a person not supposed to be distracted from the reverence of tefillin. So now we come to the great challenge of our times, namely checking one's email during Chazaras HaShatz. Right? So the question is this permissible or not? Is this a Hesach Hadas? So in the Mishnah Berurah, I'm not going to, in the interest of saving time, he gives three categories of Hesach Hadas. Okay, the taking your mind off of tefillin pertains, the greatest manifestation of that is a person who gets involved in levity, a person starts joking around, starts telling jokes, or whatever, schmoozing. So that, for sure, the post can say that's usa to do. It's usa to do. In other words, because of the fact that it's not respect to the tefillin. It's not, the tefillin are holy things. It's even though that we lose, you know, it's a natural thing, something you do all the time, you lose respect. But you know, not consciously, but it just, you get used to it. You know, I imagine the Kohanim who went into the Beis Hamikdash every day back in the day probably also had that challenge. You know, it's not, you know, by us, whoa, you know, but you know, for them, they were used to it. So that's what happens. So when it comes to Schok Kalas Rosh, that's us Isser Gomer. And therefore, I hate to say it, but I don't see any heter that a person would have to make a phone call during the time that he's wearing his tefillin, even during Chazaras HaShatz. In other words, you say, well, anyway, you know, the whole minig of Chazaras HaShatz is not something that is so relevant to us. And I said to Shmoneh Esrei, right, I have to make a phone call, so I'll go out of the shul, obviously. But that, it's not really the right thing. If a person really needed to make a phone call, it should take off his phone. Because that's considered a Hesach Hadas. That's considered something that it's okay, whatever he's talking about. You know, it doesn't mean that he's necessarily joking around, but that's a total diversion. That's a total diversion. Unless it's the type of thing that there's still Yiras Shamayim involved. In other words, like, for example, if it's a serious, I would imagine a doctor who has to return a call to a patient probably could leave on the tefillin, because then already, the Mishnah Berurah says, that's like a higher level. That's a case where you know, it doesn't lend itself, it's a serious topic. So it's a serious topic, you're not going to get distracted, you're not going to start joking around, right? So therefore, it's even though you're not focused on the mitzvah of tefillin per se, but it's already, the conversation is a conversation that's not lightheaded. So that, there's room to be makel. That, there's room, the Shabur said, even though it's a machlokes in the poskim in that case also, but there's room to be lenient. But that, I think, is easy to be lenient. But if it's going to be just stam a phone call, or a person going to start checking his email, or read some joke that somebody sent him online, you know, so that's not right. The person shouldn't do that. He's not talking, so I'm not speaking. So, but it has nothing to do with speaking. It has to do with the reverence of tefillin. Yes, I'm sorry.
Do all these rules apply to talus as well?
They don't apply to talus as well. It's a good question. They don't apply to talus as well. The question, why not? So the basic answer would be because the talus is not a davar shebikdusha. In other words, for example, we know tefillin a higher level of sanctity. Tefillin have to be buried after they, you know, when they go out of use. Tefillin, you can't just a talus make or a din. You can just throw in the garbage. Right, even though we don't do that exactly, but you know, a talus is considered a tashmishe mitzvah. Then the tefillin is tashmishe kedusha. So not only that you have to bury the tefillin, you have to bury the boxes that you keep the tefillin in. Right, a person, those plastic boxes that you put the tefillin in, sometimes they break. People think you could throw in the garbage. It's not true. That because that was the house of the tefillin, so that has to also be put away. The bag from the tefillin, it all has to be buried, or at least put into Geniza. You can't just throw it out. But a talus does not have that sanctity, so therefore most of these rules do not apply by a talus. But in general, in davening, it's not a good idea that a person should get distracted, even as far as the davening is concerned, but certainly when it comes to tefillin. Okay, now, finally, so we said that really, Me'ikar Adin, could be yotzei tefillin in a moment, right? The meaning is to wear it for davening. So how much of davening do you have to wear it for? So the Ramah brings down a custom from the Mekubalim that even though you would think that once you said Shemoneh Esrei, you could take off the tefillin. However, the Ramah brings down that a person is supposed to have the tefillin on for four kedushas and three times kaddish. Okay, now where do you have four kedushas in davening? So you have the baruchu that you say before the Birchus Kriya Shema. Baruchu counts as one. right? Because it's considered davish b'kedusha. Then you have the kedusha that's said in the Birchas Kriyishma, Kaddish, 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 etc. Then you have the official kedusha that's said in Chazaras Hashatz. And then you have by Uvalet Zion. So again, we have the kedusha. So the tefillin is supposed to be worn for all four of those and for three times Kaddish. The three times Kaddish would be the right before Baruch Hu, and then after the Shemoneh Esrei, and then after Uvalet Zion. That would be, at that point, technically a person could take off the tefillin. If a person really needed to, he could take off the tefillin as soon as he finishes Shemoneh Esrei. However, it's better to at least wear it for that long. The Mishnah Berurah brings down that the poskim say that since Kaddish is such a reverent thing in its own right, so therefore a person should always wear tefillin for Kaddish, even if he's just answering the Kaddish. So therefore, since the davening by us, we have Kaddish after Olenu and after Uvalet Zion, so after the Shir Shayom, I mean, so really a person shouldn't take off the tefillin until the end of the davening. But if a person needed to, could already take off after Uvalet Zion, that would be, and in case of real need, the person could take it off after Shemoneh Esrei. Finally, we come to the question of when do you take off the tefillin on Rosh Chodesh? And here we have an incredible thing, which beyond me, how nobody cares about this, and I guess it's just not the minhag. But we know the halacha is that on Rosh Chodesh, it falls a weekday, so we wear tefillin, but we take off the tefillin before Musaf. Because the Musaf on Rosh Chodesh is considered like Yontif, and therefore we don't wear the tefillin for that. So you take off the tefillin right before. So when does everyone take off the tefillin? So let's say Ashkenazic minyan. So they say the last thing they say is the Uvalet Zion. At the end of the Uvalet Zion, the Kaddish, the Chazan says Kaddish, and then there's a break. Everyone takes off the tefillin, and then they start the Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, the Mishnah Berurah says, and nobody cares. It's amazing. The Mishnah Berurah says in Simin Mem Beis the following thing. He says that, just bear with me for a moment. The Mishnah Berurah says that when it comes Rosh Chodesh, so he brings down this custom that a person should not that a person should not take off the tefillin, should not daven musaf with the tefillin on Rosh Chodesh. And then he says the following. Then he says, for some reason just bear with me for a minute. So the Mishnah Berurah says, I'll tell you outside in the interest of saving time. He says that a person should take off the tefillin before finishing Uvalet Zion. Should not wait till after the Kaddish is said. Why should he not wait till the Kaddish is said? Because the Kaddish that's said before Musaf is supposed to be the Kaddish that you say before Shemoneh Esrei. Right, before you say Shemoneh Esrei, so we say by many tefillos, we say Kaddish, like I say, but yesterday on Shabbos, before Musaf, the Chazan says Kaddish. Right, that Kaddish is going on the tefillah. You're not supposed to be mafsik between that Kaddish and the Shemoneh Esrei. So therefore, if a person is first going to take off the tefillin then, so there's a big hefsik. In other words, the Chazan said the Kaddish, everybody said, oh man, right, and then they start taking off the tefillin, it takes a few moments. So that's not right. So the Mishnah Berurah writes very clearly. He says it's not the right thing. He said they should take off when they say Uvalet, towards the end of Uvalet Zion, before the Hirotzon at the end of Uvalet Zion, that's when people should take off the tefillin. He says this and nobody argues. He brings this down, he leaves it that way, and I don't know why it is, but nobody cares. And in all the shuls, so some shuls, so they make it, you know, that's why if you ever wonder how come they don't give you so much time on Rosh Chodesh to wind up, it's annoying. You take off the tefillin, they don't let you wind it up. Right away, the chazan runs over, you know, they give a clap, and they start to say Shemoneh Esrei. So it's annoying, right? Why don't you just give me a chance to wind it up already? Right? The answer is because they're worried about this, because it's not supposed to be a hefsik between the Kaddish and the Shemoneh Esrei. So if you're really worried about that, then you shouldn't take off the tefillin then. You should take off the tefillin before. And if you'll say, well, I have to wear it for Uvalet Zion because I have to get the four kedushas, which is what the Ramah says. Fine. So wait till after. Wait till after. But before the Hirotzon at the end of Uvalet Zion, you look in the city, you'll see what I'm referring to. Before the Hirotzon, that's when the Mishnah Berurah said, that's the time to take off the tefillin Rosh Chodesh. Nobody does this. I don't know why. I once was, many, many years ago, I saw there used to be one of the Gedol, Pesach, Rav Tuvia Goldstein's, that's how I once was at a minyan, it was on Rosh Chodesh, it was a bris on Rosh Chodesh, and he made a big issue out of this, but nobody paid attention to that either. And other than that, I've never seen anyone careful. I don't know why it is. If anyone could find this out, I'd be very appreciative. Anyway, that's the mitzvah of tefillin that we should all try to be careful in. Yeshikaya.